All right, so I'm going to talk tonight about the master design. And so let's start with Genesis first, chapter 6. And it's going to go over a story that we all know very, very well about Noah. I'm not going to read it all. We're just going to hit highlights here. So chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. That might be a little bit different than what you're reading. It's going to be a little bit... And so God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. Make yourself an ark of gopher or cypress wood. Make it in rooms, stalls, pens, coops, nests, cages, and compartments. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is the way you are to make it. The length of the ark should be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits, which to us would be 450 feet times 75 feet times 45 feet. You shall make a window in the roof, a place for light for the ark, and finish it to a cubit at least 18 inches above, and the door of the ark you shall put in the side, and you shall make it with the lower, second, and the third stories. Jump down to 22, and it says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So I want to talk about the master design. And if you go through, we won't read them all. There's a lot of verses there, but it talks about verse 17, that there was 40 days of rain. Verse 24 says the water was on the earth for 150 days, which equals 5 months. Then it said the waters continued to descend until the 10th month. And they get to actually see the tops of the hills in the 10th month. Then if you go to chapter 8, talks about 40 days, and they would open the ark for the raven to leave, 7 days more for the dove to go out, another 7 for the second dove, and in verse 18 it says it was a year and 10 days when they finally got out of the ark. That's a long time. So I thought, as we read the very first scripture here, that God saw that the world had become corrupt, and he had lost all his desire to help them. He was having trouble finding righteous men. He was angry. He wanted to destroy everything. And it comes up, verse 9, it says, Noah walked in fellowship with God. He was a just and righteous man, blameless in his generation. So he found Noah, and he decided that he was going to save a portion of creation and Noah and his family. So first of all, that takes a lot of dedication and determination to be for that. Could you be that one person? Like, if nobody else in Newark was saved and they were all extremely wicked and corrupt, could you be that one person that God could depend on to build an ark and save you and your family and the animals? That just struck me kind of hard. I was like, wow, that's... So I thought about, I'm trying to bring Noah up into my understanding because I didn't live back then. So if I was Noah, and he's human like me, I know we read some of these stories and we're like, yeah, that they were amazing people. They were human, just like us. So I'm sure the first thing is, what's an ark, right? What's an ark? I've never seen one. And what's a flood? And why? What am I doing here? And he said to use gopher wood. And I thought, as he's probably putting together this ark, I'm sure that it took a lot of trees. And so I'm sure that they used probably all the gopher up around them. And then he had to go out. And I would be like, well, there's an elm tree and an oak tree. Won't that work the same, right? But it was specific. God said specific. And it said right there in verse 22, he did all that God commanded him. He didn't defer from anything that he'd said. Now, that God didn't say, Noah, if you do this, you're going to be a great big hero. Everybody's going to love you. You're going to save the world. He didn't tell him that. He didn't say, Noah, you're not going to get made fun of. You know, it's going to be easy breezy. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you're going to get tired. You're not going to get tired. You'll have a lot of strength. He didn't tell him that. And you're not going to be able to picture the end because you don't know what an ark looks like. And you don't know what a flood is. So you can't picture what I'm talking about. But I want you to trust me. And I want you to do this. So I thought about something that I could kind of correlate it to us. And I thought about maybe like a tsunami. I don't even think that one's hit. I didn't look it up. But I don't think one's ever hit the United States. Hurricanes, yes. But I don't think a tsunami. So if I say... there is a tsunami coming to Newark, Ohio, and we need to prepare. And how many of you could tell me what a tsunami is without Googling it? A few of you? Okay, that's good. So, Noah didn't even know that much. So you know what it is. Would you know how to prepare without Googling it? How many would know how to prepare without Googling it? If I say a tsunami's coming, we got to prepare. You'd know how to prepare without Googling it. Hey, it's never happened. And I mean, nothing, never say never. God can make it happen. But I wouldn't say that we're ever going to see a tsunami here in Newark, Ohio. So if I say we've got to do it, you've got to convince your family and your friends that it's coming, and you've got to get ready to prepare, and we're going to give you explicit instructions how to do this. Wouldn't you think people look at you kind of strange? I've never heard of this. It's never been in Newark. Why would we think it's going to come now, right? So God told Noah early on in the story that he was going to save you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. They're going to survive. So I got to thinking, well, I'm sure they had extended family. His sons' wives had parents, and I'm sure they had siblings. What about them? What about close friends? And I thought, you know, if I was Noah, you're still going to be like, man, I wish that, you know, God said that, but surely they're going to come along. And I thought, you know, at the beginning, like I thought about camp meeting, how we're all gung-ho and we're all ready to pitch in and just do our thing. And by the end of the week, we're tired. And if it went on like all summer, we'd probably not have as many at the start of camp meeting as we would, or as many at the end of camp meeting as we would at the start, because people would get tired and they would get fizzled out. And so I have to think, in my own thinking, that Noah probably did have some people that started out helping him. And then they thought, you know, you're crazy, Noah. We've been doing this for months and there's no rain. And this is just crazy. We don't even, you know, what's a cubit? I don't even know if they knew what a cubit was. And so, you know, God had explained to them. So Noah had a decision to make. I could fit in with everybody else because I'm sure everybody thought he was crazy. You're talking about something that's never happened. We don't even know what rain is. And you're saying that it's going to come and fill the whole earth and we need to build this big thing to be in. I'm sure he was looked at like he was just nuts. And it would have been easier for him to just fall in with everybody else and be like, you know, that's just easier not to stick out. Or was he going to follow God wholeheartedly? Now, if he was going to do it, he had to be all in. He couldn't be like, well, I'll build the ark, but I really want people to like me. So, I mean, we need to kind of mesh these two together. God was like, you're going to do it and you're going to be all in, or I'm going to be destroyed. So some what ifs about Noah. What if he decided that he didn't need to follow the plan exactly? What if he got to building and thought, this is really a lot of wood. You know, I don't think we need all these floors. What if we just cut one off? What if we use different wood? Like I said, what if, you know, we've run out of wood here close by, we're having to haul it in from farther out. What if we use different woods? What difference is that going to make? What if we start cutting corners here, you know, to save on labor, because this has taken a long time. We have worked months and months on this. Well, you have to think, would there have been room for all the animals and all the feed and all of Noah's family? You cut a whole floor off, that could have got really crowded. Would it have been built to last? They were on it for a year and 10 days. Now, it only rained for 40 days, but they were on it for a year and 10 days. If you cut some corners, that's a long time to be cooped up with animals and your family. Would it capsize or flood or sink? Depending on what you've cut off of the plan, it could have made it so it was not, I mean, it seemed awful long. That seemed kind of odd that would float, but God knew what he was doing. So I'm going to compare it tonight to building our house. And we're all building our own individual house. So I'm going to have Benji come help me because he's been helping Chris and his dad. He took some things out of it so that I could carry it because it was very heavy. So we're going to build our house. We got a box of tools here, and I'm sure, well, his dad's got a whole trailer of tools when they go to build something. And Chris said they even take dollies to take their tools because they got so many heavy tools they could take. And I say, hey, I've got these tools. I've got this blueprint here, and I have a truck full of lumber outside, and I want you to build me a house. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths. Can you do it? From scratch. Can you do it?
Where it's located.
Right. So where are you going to start?
The ground. Basement.
All right. Would you need to start with your blueprints?
Yes.
So maybe some of you don't know what blueprints are. My husband is an architect, draftsman. He's an architect. But so, I don't know if we want to do this. This is what blueprints, well, the original term blueprints came because they were actually blue. And Nick, my brother Nick, has some that they did for the building in Africa. They did them actually, they hand drew them all in, and it was actually all blue. And there were several layers, it's like tissue paper, and that's where they get the blueprints from. Well, now this is computer, they go on there and do this computerized with this program, And so they have to do all of these things. And then you can see they still have to write things in, and the pitch of things and the depth of things. And this is a blueprint. And so they go in and someone says, this is what I want to design. This is what I want. The architect does this, and then they give it to the contractor. The contractor has to read this. Now, you've worked with your dad enough. Could you read this and know what we're looking at here?
Yeah.
Now, if I pull someone else up here that has never been familiar with and around this, would you be able to help me decipher this? No. I've been around it, and I couldn't decipher it. So, we said we'd start here. So, you've got this, and then you also know the first place you're going to start is your foundation. So, are you a Mason?
I can be.
You can be a Mason? See, Benji may not be a good example because he knows a little bit of the trade. So, a Mason, you're going to do the block. So, you're going to start with your foundation. I don't think your dad does. Does he do the block? I know they subcontract out a lot. So, they start with the foundation. And so, what are you going to do? You're going to find someone that, like a Mason or someone that does foundations. All right, so you can have a seat for a minute. I'll pull you back up in a second. We're gonna erase this for a minute. So you start with your architect, or as they call it, a master designer. From there, it goes down to the building code department. And Chris will tell me he's been there lots and lots of times. So after the architect draws the plans, and they have a team that will usually do it, the architect has his own seal, his own stamp on it, but they'll have draftsmen underneath them that they've taught to do it. They have to take it to the building code department. This is, does it meet regulations? Is there anything that's a problem? Are you building it on top of an oil well? Are you building it too close to a river? Are there things you need permits for? So they have to start here. From there, it goes to the construction company. And you have big name companies that do construction. Then what they're going to do is they're going to break it off. And they're going to subcontract. And I think that's what Benji's dad does a lot, subcontracting for the big construction companies. So they say, okay, we need a Mason. Someone that can lay block, someone that can lay brick, someone that can lay stone. We need an electrician. Someone that knows a little bit about electricity. We need HVAC. Does anybody know what that is? Heating, venting, air conditioning, cooling. Yes. So that's important. And need a plumber. That's probably important too. So all of those things all comes down like a triangle here. So we start with the blueprint. We talked about what it is. It's a diagram showing us how to build. Now, did this show you what the final picture was going to look like? No. This is pictures. Now, they do have programs now that they can do like virtual pictures. It gives you more of an idea. Like if people wouldn't build a house, they give you a virtual idea. Now, back in the day, they didn't. They drew a picture on their blueprints, and that's what you went off of. So you can't see the final outcome picture. You just see, okay, this is different segments. This is different rooms. This is different measurements here. And so when I talked to my brother Nick, because I wanted to get some information, make sure I had it right here, he said that they get them in layers. And they had a word for it, and I've forgotten it already. But they get their blueprints in layers. They have the main layer, which is the base for the contractor. Then they have a layer for the electrician, which is more detailed. It's going to have every single place that a light switch needs to go, every single place that a light socket needs to go, every single place that a light fixture needs to go. Then they're going to have another one on top of that that's going to be for the heating and cooling. Where are you going to put your ducts? Where are you going to put your vents? Can't have them in different places. There's another one that's going to be for the plumber. Where your water line is going to go? Where your sewer line is going to go? How they come in the house? How are they going to go out? But it's all based off of the master design that is giving to the construction company. And then Nick said each subcontractor gets their own blueprint that they go off of. So he said the first thing you do is you meet with the architect, master design, the construction company does. And he said there is multiple meetings that you go over these plans before they even are given this final plan of how they're going to do it. And I said, what happens if you want to add or change? He said you communicate with the master designer. You send an email. You send a text. You call. You set up another meeting. I said, what happens if you can't decipher your blueprint? You have a meeting with your master designer. He said, and I said, we were talking about, okay, if it's not built correctly, what if there's issues and the customer comes back? He said, they will sue the architect. But what happens is they come to the architect and the architect says, no, it's in the blueprint. I drew for this. I mapped this out. Then they can go after the construction company because they did not follow the blueprint. And they can get fined and sued for not following the blueprint. So to be an architect, which my husband did not want to go for because you have to have 5 years of college education. You have to be an intern with an architect for so much length of a time. And then you have to take this test that is extremely hard. And it cost, I think it was like $1,000 at the time. And so then obviously if you fail it, you've done all that for nothing. Because it's all banked on that test. If you don't pass that test, it doesn't matter if you have 5 years and you interned, you have to pass that test. And why? They are responsible. If you think about some of these big architects out of big cities, you're building great big buildings. You're creating great big structures, and you have to make sure the design is correct, the structure is correct, the safety of it's correct. And when you seal your name of your firm on that, you're saying, I guarantee that's going to happen. I have this all lined up. So back to our correlation with our house, God gives us our toolkit here. He gives us our blueprint to build our lives. Now, when he gave it to Noah, God did not build the ark. How many of you knew that? He did not build the ark. He gave the instructions to him. He gave him the supplies there, but he didn't build it. So it was up to Noah at that point. He could have said, no, I'm not going to build the ark. But he was given this. This is what God said to do. What am I going to do with it? So he was given his design. He was given his supplies. What is he going to do? So there's options. And as I've tried to tell my Sunday school girls, there's consequences to every single thing that you do, good or bad. So if he didn't follow, well, obviously he would have made it, right? He'd be dead. If he didn't do as exactly as instructed on the blueprint, exactly how it was done, what would he see? He'd probably see wreckage because it would not have made it. And just like in our life, if we don't follow our blueprint exactly, we will see wreckage. Maybe in our job, maybe in our marriage, maybe in a split home. If we have added or subtracted from the master plan and not talked to the master designer, we're going to see wreckage. Just like if we didn't talk to the master designer and we decided to do something here, the plumber wanted to go off on his own little plan that he had, we could have water everywhere, you know? He could cross lines with the electrician and that could get very exciting. The water and the electricity. So everybody has to do their little part and follow the plans because it all depends on each other when they start interlocking in that house to get together. So when Noah was building the ark, he didn't say, well, I don't know what rain is, so I think I'll wait until it rains and so I know what rain is and then I'll build it. It took him, what did they say, 120 years? Is it 120 years, I think, to build the ark? So if he would have waited till it rained, he would have been a little bit too late. A lot too late. He would have said, I need proof, right? We don't like to do things by faith. We want someone to do. Someone wants us to do something. We're like, well, I really need proof before I want to go invest all this time and all of this into this thing and project. I want to see proof that it's going to like pay me off, right? He didn't have proof. He wasn't going to get it. It was by faith. He would not have enough time. So I thought about the farmers today. They don't say, okay, I'm going to wait till all the spring rains come. Then we're going to go out and till the ground. And then we're going to go out and plant. Well, if they do that, their plants are not going to be harvested by the time the frost comes in the fall. It's going to be too late. So what do they have to do? They have to prepare the ground for the storm, just like Noah had to prepare for the storm. So he had to have the three Ds: dedication, determination, and desire, and then faith. So they had to have hard work. This was nothing that he had ever seen done before. And they didn't have cranes. They didn't have big machinery like we do that could just put all this together. You know, in a little bit of time, we went to the Creation Museum. You could see somewhat how those that went with us, how they had crafted and put that together. And it's just mind-blowing to think that they did that all by hand. So I think about like today when we go to school and we're building our life and we're different and we stand out and everybody thinks we're strange and we're weird and they're mocking us and they're talking about us. What about Noah? Do you think in the middle of the driest place where it's never been rained on and he's out building this boat, do you think he got made fun of? I'm sure. You think his friends and family called him names? I mean, the Bible doesn't say it, but he's human, and people are human, and I'm sure it happened. And so we're not going to know And even if you did drawings on this blueprint, you would never know what this end project's going to be until you actually see it physically. So in our life, when we're building our house, probably not till we get to our older age phase of life, are we going to be able to look back and say, oh yeah, look at the blueprint. That went together there, and that makes sense now when I look back and see how God was putting that all together. When I was in the middle of it, it made zero sense. You know, I was like, kept going back to the master designer and saying, this doesn't work. What are you talking about? This isn't going to work. But, you know, the master designer knows best. He's done it. So right now, you guys are in the foundation stage, which is the most important phase. Because whatever you're going to make your foundation out of, that's what you're going to build the rest of your house on, the rest of your life on. So if you say, I know how to lay block and I'm going to do it myself, you could maybe not have it level and your house may not be level, and that could cause all kinds of problems. It may sink. It may be, you know, we don't have it on a sure place, and your house may just sink. So if you don't have your foundation done right, then how are you going to build the rest of your house? So you've got to start right on your foundation. So what would you do? You would want to get someone that's done it before. If I'm going to build, or my husband did tiling in our bathroom before we moved our house. We've never done tiling before. So what did he do? He called someone that did stone and masonry and tiling. And he came and he did it. And he showed Chris, and Chris said, I could probably do it now. I've worked with him and did this. But he didn't say, I'm going to do it by myself, and I'm going to stick them up on the wall and hope they stick. He had him come and show him how it had to be done, how they had to be cut, how they had to be stuck in with all these little spacers. And it was things that I wouldn't have thought of. So you have to ask someone that knows. All right, Benji, I need you back. Sorry, put these backwards. I'm going to hand these signs in just a minute. All right. So what if we decide that we've got our plans here, and it's for a 3-bedroom house, and we say, you know what? I think I need a mansion. I deserve one. I need 6 bedrooms. I need 6 bathrooms, 2 living rooms, 2 kitchens, and a 4-car garage. Not what my plan calls for, but that's what I need because I deserve it. Now, in this supply bag, you're not even going to get a house out of it because we've emptied a lot of it, so I can carry it. But this, your supply bag is not going to have what you need for a mansion. Neither is your plans. So what does that mean? It's going to cost you. So who do you think is there to exchange? The devil's there to exchange for you. And he's going to say, okay, you want this mansion, then I need from you this first one here. What do I need from you? Your time. I need you to work more. You probably need to work on Sunday so you can get more money, because you know these, you deserve these plans. You deserve this the best. You probably might have to work on Wednesdays too. Revival and camp meetings, I'm sure that you'll have to do then. And especially youth meetings. There's no time for that. We don't have that. You're going to be too busy. When you're done with that, and you're working and working, you might have time for vacation. You might have time, maybe you have a little bit of time for yourself. So you start filling up all this stuff. So you have to give your time, because I want that other plan. So what's the next thing I need to give in exchange? The standard. All kinds of different ways that could come. Your standards, God's standards, the Church of God standard, right? It's not necessary. It's too strict. I can give it up a little bit. It's going to be fine. What's the next thing we need to give? Oh, morals. Everything you've been raised with. Now it's not too important. It's too conservative. I deserve the best. I deserve this mansion, right? And so Satan finally says, I will give you this mansion, but you've got to give me the one thing that costs the most. And when you give that to me, then you can have this mansion. And that's going to be your salvation. You give me your salvation, and then you can have your mansion. So you give all of these things up, and then what happens? Well, the house doesn't satisfy. It's maybe not what you thought it was. Maybe it's empty. It's too big now. It's lonely. Maybe you're going to have to start filling it up with other stuff. And even mansions have to have repairs. And things start to fall apart. And those become costly. And now you're becoming deeper in debt. Or as we can symbolize, deeper in sin. And not everything you hope for. You've got this letdown. I've worked and worked and worked and worked for this thing, and it didn't fill me up like I thought it would. And it's this huge letdown. And then the storm comes along, and where's your tools? You gave all your tools away. You don't have them. You You don't have them for your house. So you need to get your advice, your counsel, your directions from the ones who have built before. So just like we have the electrician, the mason, the plumber, the HVAC. I missed one there. We have Sunday school teachers, we have pastors and parents and youth leaders, spiritual leaders in the church that we need to speak with. It takes lots of time to build our house. These down. It takes lots of time. It took Noah lots of time. It didn't happen overnight. He didn't say, poof, I got a boat. We're good. All right? There was no magic wand. He didn't get it overnight. It was slow. It's going to be the same with us. We're not going to see our finished product right now. We're not going to have every single thing that we want, our whole entire heart's desire, tomorrow or the minute we graduate. It's not going to happen. It's a slow process. It takes time to correctly build your house. If you want it correctly, you have to start at the bottom here correctly. So you're 18, you're graduated, you've been given the keys to the world. Now don't make a big decision regarding some of this stuff if you haven't talked to the master designer or your people that have been there before. Don't say, I'm going to run off to this college that's, you know, clear across the United States, because that's just what I think's right. Or this job, it's this amazing job, and, you know, it's in Texas, but I think it's, I don't know a church there, but I'm sure that God would want me to have it, because that's a good job. Or maybe it's a service, and I think that that's just what God want me to do. Or maybe it's for a companion. If you don't have the right tools, if you don't have the right supplies, you're not going to make your house. It's not going to work. You have to go back to the master designer. Go to the ones who have built before. And sometimes, you know, even later in life, like where I get to mine now, I get to the blueprint, and I'm like, this does not make sense, God. This blueprint does not make sense. Why is this one part taking so long? What is happening in this one room? I am stuck here for 50 years, feels like. Why am I not getting out? What are we doing wrong here? It's because I don't see the big picture. I don't see the big plan, and I get hung up, and I want to say, okay, this is not how I imagined my life, my master plan to be. But God has the master design. He's done it before. We're not his first human being that he's ever made. And I'm not an electrician, but I would not go into my house and say, you know, I think that I could just take this light fixture down and I'm going to put a ceiling fan there. I'm just going to wire a ceiling fan up in there. That would be a rude awakening. I would probably be shocked, literally shocked. I would not try to tackle things that I don't know anything about, just like we shouldn't tackle things in our life that we don't know. We're only to get shocked or cause extra damage that we're going to have to go back and find and redo. So seek help, ask questions, be open-minded to the change and advice. Why? God's the master designer. His plan is better. Better how? Better than we can imagine. Better than that mansion that you envision. Better than that extra repair that you're going to have to do because you cut things out of your plan. God's going to give you all the tools, all the supplies, all the instructions, all the directions you need, but he's not going to build your house. That's your decision. So what are you doing? What are you going to do with your master design? The decision is yours, but remember, so is the final product.